Morning, everyone. Welcome to the Board of Public Works. Today is March 23rd, 2011. We are joined by a number of distinguished people, including Dr. Wilson from Morgan, who we will hear from shortly. But I'd like to ask the Comptroller and Treasurer if they have any opening thoughts.
Or we could do it right now.
I have an opening thought.
I won't tell you what my thought is. It's not an entirely happy thought. But actually, this is March 23rd, a day that will live in fame and perhaps in infamy. Governor, this hand-carried item before you is a resolution. You have it before you now. It's a resolution in honor of Howard S. Friedlander, Deputy Treasurer for External Affairs, on the occasion of his retirement. Now,
gasp. let the record reflect. The crowd here at the Board of Public Works gasped.
This is the first on a long series, actually, of celebratory events for Howard, I think. It's sort of like a victory lap. But we do want to recognize not only Howard, which I will get into in a moment, but his family, in case you wondered who these handsome people in the front row were. Liz Friedlander, Bess Langbein. I only know where's Bess. I apologize. And Elliot, the future recipient of Howard's talent, Kate and Van Fisher, Howard's other children. And they are here to join us on this occasion. We did have a resolution that actually the secretary, Secretary McDonald, put together on behalf of the Board of Public Works. This is from all of us. There'll be another one at the Board of Trustees of the Pension System and another one at the State Treasurer's Office. And he already had a huge one at the National Guard. But since this is from the Board of Public Works, Governor, it seems to me it's rather appropriate for you to read it.
Okay. Resolution in honor of Howard S. Friedlander, Deputy Treasurer for External Affairs, on the occasion of his retirement.
Stand up, Howard.
How mam qui merowit ferot?
It'll come clear soon.
When I go like this, I'd like all of you to say whereas. Howard Friedlander served this last decade as Deputy Treasurer for External Affairs before recently announcing his retirement from state service and
whereas.
As Deputy Treasurer for External Affairs, Howard Friedlander was the liaison. Howard, the Treasurer told you to stand up. As Deputy Treasurer for External Affairs, Howard Friedlander was the liaison between the State Treasurer and the Board of Public Works and
whereas.
As Deputy Treasurer for External Affairs, Howard Friedlander represented the State Treasurer through participation on the State Retirement and Pension System Administrative Committee, on the Maryland Agricultural Land Preservation Foundation, and on the Task Force to Study Efficiency and Procurement and
whereas.
Howard Friedlander served in the Maryland National Guard for 33 years before beginning his service in the State Treasurer's Office and
whereas.
Howard Friedlander began his professional life unearthing and providing useful information as a reporter and editor in Talbot, Queen Anne's, and Howard Counties and
whereas.
Howard Friedlander is a native Marylander and a proud graduate of Baltimore City College, which bears the richly apt motto Pau mam qui merowit ferot, honor to one who earns it. And
whereas.
Howard Friedlander, while working full-time in his state capacity, has always found time and effort for meaningful charitable contributions, such as serving as the director of the boards of the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum Incorporated and Leadership Maryland, and as president of the University of Pennsylvania, class of 1967, where he established the Michael San Philip
Memorial Scholarship. And
whereas
Howard Friedlander performs his work with diligence, fairness, enthusiasm, compassion, precision, and doggedness. And
whereas
Howard Friedlander will be sorely missed by his colleagues who could not ask for a more loyal or honorable companion. And
whereas
Howard Friedlander's expertise, insight, good judgment, honesty, and integrity have provided the state treasurer wise counsel and advice. And
whereas
the members of the Board of Public Works and all Marylanders feel a deep sense of gratitude for Howard Friedlander's contributions to our state. Now, therefore, the Board of Public Works resolves that Howard S. Friedlander has earned this honor, and this resolution be placed on the public record as a heartfelt tribute to a man whose service will be treasured in the annals of the state. Is there a motion by the treasurer?
Move we adopt the resolution.
Second.
Seconded by the comptroller. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That is the first popularly adopted board. Congratulations.
Governor, I think the resolution said it all, but on behalf of all of us, I think people don't realize that Sheila and Jerry, Tom and his predecessor, and Howard together really reinvigorated the staff work of the BPW and has brought it, I think, to a level of serious and objective analysis that it really had not had for some time. We will miss him sorely, but build on what he helped create. It's been a great team. I think Elliot is a very fortunate fellow, but he's got to learn over the next few months to share. And we'll point out some ways in which he can share with us. But I can see the attraction also. Thank you, Howard.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Governor.
Yes, I just think Howard's probably very grateful that we didn't let you all vote on whether he should be able to retire. But I wanted to just add a personal note because Colonel Friedlander is just an enormous presence in Annapolis and has the respect of so many people, I think partly because of his contribution to the public policy record, but also just on a personal level. Colonel Friedlander is just such an outstanding Marylander. And just a small personal thing, years ago, my daughter, who's now, I think she's going to be 30 this year, amazingly, but she met with her high school counselor on where she should apply to college. She was informed, matter-of-factly, you can just cross off all the top colleges. You're not eligible to apply to them based on whatever we decide here in the school. And I remember the shock that she felt, and obviously my response was, well, the heck with that. Let's go ahead and apply to whatever college we want to apply to. But one of the schools she really wanted to go to was the University of Pennsylvania. And I had no connection or no knowledge of basically anything, but Abby really wanted to go there. And I mentioned it to Howard. And he was able to get her an interview. You know, back then it was impossible because there was so many people. And it changed. She got accepted on her own and went to that great school. But her life was completely affected by just, what Colonel Friedlander does, I guess, on a daily basis. And I personally am grateful for that. We're going to miss you very much, Colonel. Doesn't surprise me, looking at Liz and Beth and Kate, who I don't really know that well. Beth is legendary in Washington for great accomplishments, and your grandkids, why you want to retire. But we're going to miss you. And Godspeed. Come back and visit often.
Thank you.
You want to do a picture?
Sure.
I thought we were going to call on Howard to give a speech. Howard, do you want to say anything? Come on over to the microphone.
I mean, you feel it well enough inside you, don't you? Acknowledge the love in this room. Acknowledge.
Thank you. Thank you. I just a few brief remarks, as I see we have some other business. you all can just bear up for a while. It's just been an honor to work with the Board of Public Works, with the Governor, and the Comptroller, and especially Treasurer Nancy Cobb, who's just an outstanding person and probably and just a superb public servant. And whatever I'm saying is absolutely redundant when it comes to her. And I thank you. This has been a real honor. I also must thank some other very good friends. My friend Sheila McDonald, Jerry Passmeyer, and Tom Hickey. Who are you, Tom? Thank you for your support and your friendship. I appreciate it. And lastly, I want to thank my family. Liz, Kate, Van, Jess, Elliot. Thank you for your love, and thank you for your support, and thank you for dealing with my, what should I say, my obsessive attitude toward work. You've been very good about it, and I love you. Thank you.
Front and center, Elliot. Elliot, is there anything you'd like to say?
Do that a little more.
Come on, family.
Liz, come on over here. Come on,
family. If I want you, come on the center. Right in front of me. You're good.
Here we go.
Perfect.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I think Elliot's got his
heart. Very good
guy.
Thank you.
Sure. All right. Shall we go to Dr. Wilson?
Yes.
Okay. As part of our Peter Franchot inspired series called Meet the President, wasn't this inspired by you?
No, actually, it's a great tradition on the board.
Is it? So this predates. I wasn't aware.
No. we it's become a tradition.
Okay.
My cousin always said if you did something twice, it was a tradition. So
well, Dr. Wilson is the new president of Morgan, and Doctor, we're very, very glad that you're taking over leadership of that great university, and just wanted to ask you to kind of introduce yourself to all of us and give us your take on where you've come from and where Morgan is going.
Oh, boy, that's a big challenge this morning. But, Governor, thank you very much. I want to thank the board as well for giving me an opportunity to say a few words about where we are in Morgan, where we see that institution in the next decade or so. But before I do, I, too, would like to congratulate Howard, an aspirational peer. One of these days, I hope to get one of those, too. You know? I have been the new president at Morgan for almost a year. I arrived July 1, 2010. I came here from the University of Wisconsin system where I oversaw half of that system. I oversaw 13 of the campuses that comprise the University of Wisconsin system. And I also oversaw another institution there called the University of Wisconsin Extension, which has everything in it, Wisconsin Public Radio, Wisconsin Public Television, all of the economic development activity in the state, all of the online degree programs in the state. And so I was in my fifth year as chancellor there when I got this wonderful opportunity to come to the state of Maryland to head up one of the truly remarkable centers of higher education in this nation, Morgan State University. Just a little bit more about my background without really making this too long. I am a native Alabamian, as the governor is well aware of. I grew up in rural Alabama. I did my undergraduate work there at a place called Tuskegee University, received 2 degrees there, and then went on to Harvard and received 2 more degrees from Harvard, my master's and my doctorate. And then along the way, I've had stops as a vice president at Auburn University in Alabama, and also as a vice provost at Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey. And so it is really, really an honor for me to provide the leadership to take Morgan State University to the next level of preeminence and excellence. I have to say that there's a lot of excitement taking place right now on the campus at Morgan. There's a lot of excitement because the university is growing. We had the largest increase in our enrollment in a single year in our history this past year, almost 8%. And we eclipsed 8,000 students. That's the first time in the history of Morgan that enrollment has actually reached 8,000. We are looking to continue to grow the institution, having an enrollment at the end of a 10-year period of somewhere between 12 and 15,000 students. We're looking to grow that enrollment both traditionally and non-traditionally. For example, I have already begun conversations with some of our community college leaders so we can form some collaborative arrangements with them and bring some of what we call the new high-demand programs that Morgan is currently proffering to those two-year campuses, in essence bring the junior and senior year in architectural engineering to some of our two-year institutions where particularly the adult place-bound student who has fallen into a certain rhythm in terms of the way they access higher education would not have to fall out of that rhythm to continue on to get a high-demand degree. We're also looking to grow our online presence. We think there's a wonderful opportunity to tap markets that are currently not being tapped once again, particularly as we meet the very, very impressive goal, Governor O'Malley, that you've set for our state, which is 55% of our population having baccalaureate degrees by the year 2025. Morgan State University embraces that wholeheartedly, and we are looking to play a significant role in helping this state to be more innovative and more competitive and to reach that goal going forward. Morgan is an institution that truly has a special place in this state and nationally. It is number one in the state of Maryland in producing African-American engineers. When it comes to the STEM fields and the production of African-American graduates, let there be no doubt that the institution that is leading the state in doing that is Morgan State University. We're number one in the state in producing African-American engineers. More than that, we are number three in the nation in producing African-American engineers. Invariably, it goes back and forth between Georgia Tech, North Carolina A&T, and Morgan. And so we perennially are ranking in the top categories in these fields. As I made the transition to Morgan, I was reading everything that came my way and even things that did not come my way, I sought them out. But one of the things that was also very impressive about the institution from my perspective is the fact that 35% of the graduates, the undergraduates at Morgan, are going to graduate in professional school. That's the second highest number in the state of Maryland in terms of undergraduates going on to graduate school. And we are number four in the nation in producing African-American doctoral graduates. That ranking just came out actually last week by Diverse Issues in Higher Education. We also have at Morgan one of only 2 accredited undergraduate accounting programs in the state of Maryland. Last week I had on my campus the reaccreditation team from the AACSB, which is the national prestigious business accreditation body. And that particular group gave our business program and our accounting program in particular exceedingly high marks. As I said, we're one of only 2 accredited undergraduate accounting programs in the state of Maryland. And amongst the 105 historically black colleges and universities, there are only 3 undergraduate accounting programs that are accredited. We also had on the campus 3 weeks ago the reaccreditation team looking at our School of Architecture and Planning. Once again, at the exit interview, I received rave remarks from that team about the quality of the graduates that we are producing at Morgan in architecture and planning, but more importantly, how those graduates are impacting the practice of architecture in the state of Maryland and indeed around the region. Over the last month or so, we have also seen on our campus visitations from two U.S. secretaries. We had U.S. Secretary Ray LaHood from the U.S. Department of Transportation to actually come to Morgan about a month ago, and visited our Center for Transportation and our Transportation Studies program and had a really robust conversation with our students about careers in transportation, but really came there to uphold, if you will, Morgan's role in the transportation industry and the work that we're doing to help that field advance. And then 2 weeks ago, we had the U.S. Secretary Steve Chu from the Department of Energy to come. He came to recognize Morgan's role in the $129 million Energy Hub Initiative that is taking place out of Philadelphia that's being headed by Penn State University. There are 11 universities that are part of that initiative in the Philadelphia Naval Shipyard. You have Penn State and Princeton and the University of Pennsylvania and the University of Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon. But Morgan is the only institution in Maryland that is a part of that. And our role there at the hub is to bring those innovations that will be occurring out of that hub in terms of how homes can become more energy efficient, how industrial buildings, if you will, can become more energy efficient, to bring that technology to Baltimore and to the state of Maryland so it could be implemented statewide and citywide. So we were very, very pleased to have the Secretary of Energy on campus to recognize the significant role that Morgan is playing in helping to transfer energy technologies from the Philadelphia Naval Yard to our state, if you will.
Dr. Wilson, can I just interrupt?
Yes.
The work that comes out of this consortium, how will it be translated? How can we grab hold of it for the state and our buildings, our development, our people?
We actually, on my list is an opportunity to have a discussion with you about strengthening that partnership, because basically what we're seeing in the other states where the universities are taking this lead role is that the state has partnered with them in terms of providing an entree and a pipeline for that technology to make its way from the naval base there in Philadelphia. And so certainly there's a wonderful opportunity for us to explore how we could actually make sure that we are partnering with the state more than we are to make this happen. Because right now we're not getting any support from the state for that pipeline. Most of the support that we're getting here is basically via the federal grant. But that opportunity certainly is available, and I can talk with you more about that offline. Okay. And so I guess the bottom line is that, you know, we really are in a period at Morgan where we're very excited about where we are, Governor O'Malley. We are very excited about where we want to go in 10 years. We expect to have a groundbreaking late next year on our new School of Business, and we expect to actually open our new building that will house the School of Architecture in fall 2012 in time for our students to enter who are returning to us. And so with that said, I'll be more than happy to address any questions you have. We have one item on the agenda today. We really appreciate the investment that the state is continuing to make in Morgan. This particular item will help our campus to become more attractive to parents and students who actually come to the campus, because we want them to experience what is positive about the institution. So that the value proposition that I'm putting forth here today would not be lost on them if, for example, they are experiencing the beauty and the aesthetics of the campus as a first sight when they arrive. So thank you very much, and I'll be more than happy to address any additional questions you have this morning.
Mr. Comptroller.
Yes, I noticed that President Obama appointed you to a very prestigious advisory group.
Well, yes, I have been actually appointed to two Washington-based groups, if you will. President Obama appointed me to his 11-member advisory committee on the role of historically black colleges and universities. We have had three official meetings there in D.C., two at the White House. And I also received an appointment from Secretary Gates about 3 weeks ago to be a part of a Department of Defense committee as well. That is a congressionally mandated committee to look at how our historically black colleges, for example, are faring in being competitive for the Department of Defense grants. And so it's a pretty impressive group nationally. We are meeting to look at these issues, and we'll bring our report to Congress within 9 months. And so we're real fortunate that the state of Maryland is represented on both of these groups, and that those results will make their way into the national dialogue and lexicon.
And just also, I noticed that you've written 20 books. You know, I'd like to write one book, but it's hard. You sit down and start to write, and it's like, geez, this is a very difficult process.
Oh, Peter, you know, I think some of that is an overstatement. Let's just say that, you know, I enjoy cogitating on the issues of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I wish I had more time to do that, you know. I really have just enjoyed the opportunity to engage students along the way in the classroom and to engage communities along the way outside of the classroom, and then to reflect on what all that means in terms of educational practice, community renewal, economic development, and the change in demographics in our society.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we're very fortunate you found your way to Maryland. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Doctor, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right. Okay, Secretary's agenda.
Good morning, Governor. Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. We have 15 items on the agenda. Item 15 was the hand-carried item we discussed already. We need to withdraw item number 4. Dr. Wilson already talked about item number 12, the quad, academic quad for Morgan State. We also have two reports of emergency procurements. If there's any questions, we can address them.
Any questions on the Secretary's agenda?
Is item 4 going to be brought back?
It is to be brought back. That is a request to make the MBE forms that state agencies use uniform, that every agency has to use the same form. There are some changes that the Governor's Office of Minority Affairs and Governor's Office and other people have introduced in the General Assembly to the MBE law, and so the Governor's Office requested that this form be held up until we know what form the law is going to look like. So I hope to bring it back, but I think we need to find at the end of the General Assembly session what the changes will be.
Terrific. And when that's brought back, Secretary Jenkins, if you could try to include the other agencies. I noticed that a number were opting out of this from the briefing material I had.
Yes.
And I don't really understand why. Maybe they have a defense, but
sure.
I would hope that whatever we come up with could be, you know, for every agency so that we're not, you know, complicating something.
Absolutely. When we bring it back, we'll certainly have some discussion around that. It's the university system and the Department of Transportation you're referring to.
Thank you. I would very much think people would appreciate having everybody in the same boat.
Yep.
Any other questions on the Secretary's agenda? Comptroller moves approval, seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. We now move on to program open space.
Good morning. Chip Price, Department of Natural Resources. Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Comptroller. The Department of Natural Resources has 7 items on the Secretary's agenda today, 2 program open space items, 4 rural legacy, and 1 CREP. Be happy to entertain any questions you might have.
Any questions on program open space? Hearing none. Treasurer moves approval, seconded by the Comptroller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. We now move on to Department of Budget Management.
Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, good morning. There are 9 items on the Department of Budget Management's agenda for today. I'm withdrawing item 9S, which is the Pharmacy Benefits Management Contract for the State Prescription Drug Program. That item is going to be withdrawn and deferred until the appeal to the Board of Contract Appeals has been decided. I'll be happy to answer any questions on the remainder of the agenda.
I'm just curious about that. It's withdrawn, I understand. How is that going to be reflected in the budget for 2012?
Essentially, we had budgeted based on what the expenditures for fiscal year 2011 were. We will not be reflecting those savings that were anticipated in fiscal year 12.
You will be reflecting those.
We will not.
You will not. You will not be. And since we're in the hole, how much now? A billion, something like that.
The proposal that was to be heard by the board today was projected to achieve a savings of $16 million for fiscal year 2012. We will not be anticipating or reflecting those savings in next year's budget.
Well, I hope it won't just be cutting education or something like that. Another 1% from the employees.
Well, essentially, you know, the way this works is we have monies in the budget that cover the prescription drug program. Once the contract would have been decided, essentially we would have gone back and we would reset the rates to reflect the savings. Essentially, we do have monies in the budget to cover the current contract.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Governor.
Sure. Any other questions on the Department of Budget Management agenda items?
Item 5S, please.
Item 5S.
Okay. Item 5S is a request to approve 71 contracts to provide residential care services for over 13 clients throughout the state. Carolyn Fenderson, who's the contracts manager for the SSA, is here to discuss that.
Hello. My name is Ted Dallas. I'm the interim or acting secretary for the Department of Human Resources. Item 5S is the result of a competitive procurement for group homes. It will result in the award of 71 contracts to provide about 1,300 beds across the state for individuals under the state's care that need to be placed in group homes.
Okay. It just struck, I'm sure that all of these clients are merit all of the treatment they should get, but could you just talk to me about the economics? We're appropriating $245 million for 2 years to take care of 1,376 clients. What's that, I guess, on a, it's probably a false measurement, but on a per client basis?
It is. It's a per-client basis wouldn't give you a good idea. The kids that we serve here are going to run the gambit from the low end of the scale, you know, sort of basic services, a group home. They just need to be taken out of the home for a while or working through some issues, to some kids who are dealing with much higher-end issues, kids who have severe diagnoses. Those are much smaller percentage, but they range the gambit.
Okay. And the second issue I had was there's some question about whether there's a bid protest. Is there or isn't there a bid protest?
I'm not aware of a bid protest. There is one vendor that we are working with who had a little trouble meeting the MBE requirements. There's one appeal for one group home. I think we may have that issue resolved, but we will work through that issue. And there is one home that we are working with their MBE issues on.
Okay. Well, I'm going to obviously vote for this because it's an important mm-hmm. constituency, but I'd like to be kept informed, and hopefully you can work out that problem with either one or two of these organizations so that they can be included in.
I'm confident, actually, that we'll be able to work both of those out. It was unfortunate that we weren't able to work it out in time for this particular trip to the Board of Public Works, but we have the ability under the RFP to award at a later date, and my hope is that once we work those issues out, we'll be able to get there.
Okay, thank you. Might I ask, Mr. Dallas, I'm not sure if you're prepared to talk about this today, but the we've undertaken a number of things in order to reduce in the opinion of many, an over-reliance on group homes and out-of-home placements, the whole move to family first and providing the services where possible when it doesn't compromise the child's safety within his or her own home. And are you able to talk about the degree to which we've reduced those group home placements over the last 4 years?
Yes. I think you're referring to the Place Matters initiative that some of my predecessors had done. It is based on the theory that children are served best in the least restrictive setting, and that has proven to be true. I'm happy to report that we've been able to reduce our reliance on group homes, and this is actually prompted this particular RFP. As we reduce the reliance on group homes and help kids get adopted, help kids be served in the home, we have had better outcomes for kids, and we've reduced our reliance on those homes. The reduction has gone from about 2,200 beds prior down to about 1,370 beds now, and still going down. This has saved us money, but the most important thing is helped us serve kids better, help them get through the issues they need to get through, and help keep them safe. And it's been a great success of the administration.
And adoptions are up about 50%, aren't they?
Yes.
So both of those things together, I mean, they never make the headlines. But it's huge savings, and most importantly, it's better outcome for kids that would otherwise be very much at risk.
And the other advantage as well is, as we are able to safely reduce the number of group homes, we can also focus on making sure the group homes we have are of the highest quality. Prior to Place Matters, the assumption was that we would have more demand for group homes than providers that are there. That is actually reversed under Place Matters, and we have fewer kids in care, and it allowed us through the RFP process, through a competitive process, to focus on quality and make sure that the homes that do remain are providing the highest quality of care. And that was the theory behind the RFP and what we're moving towards.
What sort of follow-up do you do with the kids who are left in reunited families or united families?
Every child has a case plan, and depending on what the folks who are working with that particular kid, their caseworker, they develop an individualized case plan. And there's, depending on the issues for that particular child, there is a follow-up plan that is worked out with all the people involved in that child's case. And depending on when they exit or enter care, we follow that plan. But so it's different for every child.
And there was a time with your department where kids slipped through the cracks. They were not followed up, and bad things happened.
I can't tell you the department's perfect, but I can tell you we're getting better.
You do, if I went down and looked, you in fact do have a manual of operations that all of the social workers and foster care workers know and follow and are supervised?
We have standard operating procedures that we make sure that our caseworkers follow, and there are quality assurance checks and balances to make sure they're following them.
And you or someone directly responsible to you then checks that?
Yes.
We also, as we have DHR stat that rolls around every 2 or 3 weeks, I welcome either of you to come and witness some of the trends that never make it into the newspaper because, there's not newspaper buying constituencies that care about many of these issues. But the people that we have at DHR have been doing a steady and consistently better job of improving outcomes for kids and families. And the numbers are all there. So if either of you ever wanted to check into one of those DHR stats, we welcome you.
And I'll just to follow up on that briefly, not only as the number of kids in placement has gone down, we're actually below the national average and have very favorable numbers compared to the national average for maltreatment of children in care and the number of kids that we have to place more than 2 times in 1 year, which is sort of a measure of how good you are at placing kids and getting them into the most appropriate setting.
Could you provide, in fact, for the comptroller and the treasurer, sort of the executive dashboard with the primary graphs moving in the right and the ones moving not yet in the right direction?
Of course.
That's great.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other? Are we on the Department of Budget Management? Okay. Any comptroller moves approval, seconded by the treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. We move on now to the University System of Maryland.
Morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. I'm Jim Sterling for the University System. We have 9 items on the published agenda. We're withdrawing item 5, RP, brought back at a later meeting.
Any questions? University System in Maryland. The Comptroller moves approval, seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. We move on to the Department of Information and Technology.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. Elliot Schlanger, Department of Information and Technology. This morning we have 3 items on the agenda. Be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Okay, Treasurer moves approval, seconded by the Comptroller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. We move on now to the Department of Transportation.
Good morning, Governor. For the record, Darrell Mobley, Deputy Secretary representing the Maryland Department of Transportation. MDOT is presenting 12 items today. For the record, item 1C, MOD, has previously been revised.
Okay, item 12, there is a sisters, which items are you here for?
DGS agenda.
On the DGS agenda? Maybe we should do that before we hear the protest. Because, can we do that? Sure. Can we go out of order here? Excuse me. I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of people here. But the protest, Mr. Singleton has a presentation. So, Mr. Singleton, with your permission, I'd like to go to the Department of General Services agenda items instead. And then we'll take Department of Transportation last. So, Department of General Services.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. The Department of General Services has 15 items on our agenda. I'd be glad to answer any questions that you might have. Our sister Rosemary is here on item 10C, which is a community grant loan issue. You are approving $500,000 for the acquisition and repair of a facility that they have in terms of an air conditioning system in the facility in Catonsville.
All right. Sisters, you want to come up and tell us what your item is?
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Comptroller. I'm Sister Rosemary. With me is Mother Alice Marie, our superior at St. Martin's Home in Catonsville. We are grateful for those who helped us to secure an acquisition and installation of new air conditioning equipment and the removal of old inoperable equipment. This equipment will help our elderly low-income residents to live securely, safely, with dignity and respect, and cut costs so that they're not in hospitals or being a burden on the state. We thank you for hearing us. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Sure, and that's item 12.
Item 10C on the DGS agenda.
DGS, item 10C. And St. Martin serves?
We serve currently 75 low-income elderly in independent living apartments, assisted living, and nursing facility licensed beds. And the Little Sisters live with the elderly in the same home. We assist them until death so that no one ever dies alone. And we involve their families and volunteers and other members of the greater community at our home. And anybody's welcome to visit.
And your order is?
We are Little Sisters of the Poor. We have been in Baltimore since 1869 on East Baltimore 10th Ward for over 100 years, caring solely for the needy elderly, and in Catonsville for over 40 years doing likewise. And now our building is in need of repair and reconstruction to move forward to continue to render that service of dignity, respect, and love. Our elders, we stand on their shoulders. We owe them that debt of gratitude.
Any questions on this item?
No, I just wanted to thank the Little Sisters, because what a tremendous gift you give the state. And, you know, you probably realize that all the time, but it's so great to have your, I don't know what to call it, facility or whatever, but it's what you do for people, which is completely, Governor mentioned things not being visible. What you do is often unnoticed and unappreciated. Thank you.
Thank you for your support. Our residents, thank you also.
Thank you, sisters. Any other question on DGS? All right. Treasurer moves approval, seconded by the Comptroller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? Sisters, it was unanimous. I was reading Jack Newfield's book on RFK, RFK, a memoir, and they talked about in the course of that final campaign that he would always appear in big crowds, and there was always a group of sisters there cheering him with the RFK posters, and he would always remark as one of his standard lines, ah, the sisters always come out for the Democrats, while the bishops and the Monsignors stay home and pray for the Republicans. So, sister, you're welcome anytime here at the Board of Public Works. All right, let's go now to the Department of Transportation.
Can I just ask one question? DGS?
I'm sorry. Back on DGS.
But number one, the maintenance contract.
Oh, yes.
And I don't need it right now, but I would like to know what you do, how you go about assuring that we have as green maintenance practices and resources, materials as possible.
Okay. That's a great question. Thank you very much for asking that question. We require all of our janitorial contractors to buy their products from Blind Industries of the state of Maryland. And we work with BISM, what we call it, to make sure that their products are as green as possible. So we assure that. In addition to that, the governor has a green purchasing committee that's developing, that's working right now. That report will be out in the next couple of 3 months. And we think within that report we would recommend to you that green products become the standard for the state of Maryland.
That's great. And practices.
Absolutely.
Training. I mean, it does require
yes.
some training.
Yes. The use of the products requires certain techniques, and we're sure that they know how to use those products.
Super. Thank you.
Smart, green, and growing.
Absolutely.
We now go to the Department of Transportation, and there's a gentleman, Mr. Singleton, who wants to be heard on items 11 and 12. So why don't we take that, given the...
Good morning, Governor. Good morning, Mr. Comptroller and Secretary Kopp. I am here today representing PWI Taxi Drivers Association, the Cab Operators Association. I first became involved with this group when I was General Counsel for the Master Mason Pilots, which has the Maritime Institute very close to PWI Airport. And these drivers would come over periodically to say, can you help us, can you help us, can you help us? We want some wages, we want some benefits, we want some... And I always say, I'm sorry, I can't do that much for you. They became a union a year ago before the National Labor Relations Board and were declared by the federal government, by the NLRB, to be employees within the meaning of the law.